Obamacare subsidies scrapped.
Potentially putting the exchanges in peril.
Pivotal day for the Iran nuclear deal.
The president will refuse to certify its compliance.
Identifying the dead in California's wildfires.
Some of them are merely ashes and bones.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, the Trump administration has taken the strongest action yet to try to undo Obamacare, halting government payments to insurers. CBS's Stephen Portnoy joins us live from the White House.
The cost-sharing reductions are subsidies paid directly to insurance companies each month to keep costs lower for people on the exchanges. Under GOP-controlled Congress, acted to stop the payments a few years ago, but the Obama administration kept making them, arguing they were required under the Affordable Care Act. House Republicans sued, and a D.C. District Court judge sided with them. Still, the Trump administration kept paying the subsidies. Some Republicans urged it to avoid rankling the insurance markets while Congress debated an Obamacare repeal. Well, that ends now. The White House overnight said the payments are unlawful and they will cease immediately. The Congressional Budget Office says this will drive up premiums and even the deficit, as it'll force tax credits to go up. Democrats call the move spiteful and cruel. The attorneys general of New York and California say they'll sue. Mr. Trump tweets this morning, the Democrats' Obamacare is imploding. Massive subsidy payments to their pet insurance companies has stopped. Dems should call me to fix. Steve?
And as CBS's Margaret Brennan tells us this morning, President Trump will shift gears on the Iran nuclear agreement.
He will say the nuclear deal is no longer in America's best interest. His national security advisors have scrambled to stop him from tearing up that deal, and today he'll ask Congress and the Secretary of State to fix it. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will now try to negotiate a second nuclear agreement to add on to the Obama-era one, but neither Iran nor any of America's five partner countries have agreed to that, and they privately accuse President Trump of unraveling something that endangers national security purely for political gain.
Well, CBS's Elizabeth Palmer in Tehran says there's already been an economic effect ahead of Mr. Trump's remarks.
Already the currency has dived in value in anticipation of aggressive moves from the White House. President Rouhani, the moderate president of Iran, has simply said that if America moves to undermine or pull out of the nuclear deal, then its own credibility is going to suffer worldwide.
Well, now to Northern California, where grim work is underway in neighborhoods scorched by this week's wildfires. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
Search and rescue crews began a gruesome task yesterday using cadaver dogs as they go through the remnants of hundreds of homes searching for bodies of those who were not able to escape. Sonoma County Sheriff Rob Giordano.
Some of these remains are actually intact bodies, much easier to identify. Some of them are merely ashes and bones.
Eight bodies were found yesterday. The death toll has now topped 30, making these fires the deadliest in California history. And with 400 people still unaccounted for, that death toll seems certain to rise. On the front lines, firefighters have made significant progress the last 24 hours, primarily due to reduced winds. But those winds are expected to again pick up tonight and early tomorrow. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Santa Rosa, California.
From Puerto Rico, CBS's David Begnaud says relief for the most dire of Hurricane Maria victims remains elusive.
3 weeks after the storm made landfall, you've got 45% of people that don't have water. 83% don't have electricity, and the government says they may not get it until March. Yesterday, we went to a medical center in Canovanas, Puerto Rico, where a doctor seeing patients took a break to go outside and put diesel in a generator because it had run out. That's what it's like to be a medical provider here in Puerto Rico right now.
Key Hollywood figures are speaking out in the wake of the sexual misconduct allegations against disgraced studio mogul Harvey Weinstein. Oscar-winning actress Emma Thompson says the accusations are just the tip of an iceberg.
I spent my 20s trying to get old men's tongues out of my mouth, you know, because they would just thought, well, she's up for it. You know, does it only count if you really have done it to loads and loads and loads of women, or does it count if you do it to one woman once?
And actress Rose McGowan, who reportedly received one of the Harvey Weinstein settlements, has tweeted, HW raped me. And she also blasted Amazon chief Jeff Bezos. McGowan claims an Amazon studio boss ignored her allegations about Weinstein. Roy Price has now been placed on leave by Amazon. He's also accused of harassing a female producer. We're getting a chance to hear what American diplomats heard. Over time, the audio attacks made more than 20 ill, with everything from hearing loss to brain damage. CBS's Steve Dorsey.
The audio obtained by the Associated Press is shrill, as if crickets were in overdrive. Some Americans reported hearing the sound or something like it during the attacks. A source says the audio was sent to U.S. investigators, including a Navy lab. But so far, no determination has been made on the source.
Is key evidence into Russia's attempts to influence opinion on social media gone for good? We're live with CBS's Peter King.
And the answer is possibly, Steve, because Twitter has reportedly deleted tweets and other data that could have helped investigators looking into Russian interference with last year's election. Russia is believed to have manipulated social media through various means, but the Twitter data is gone, partly because of the company's own rules. They say once a user deletes or changes a tweet, Twitter has to follow. And Politico reports that's exactly what happened after Russian operatives deleted theirs. Steve?
The American woman held captive with her family for 5 years by a terror group has now left Pakistan with her husband and kids a day after being rescued. Patrick Boyle is the father of Caitlin Coleman's husband, Joshua.
He did say the last words out of the captors were "kill the hostages."
He says they were in a car trunk when Pakistani forces moved in to kill their captors. In North Carolina, tragic results in an attempted prison break. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Two employees were killed and several others were hurt in an unsuccessful escape attempt at the Pasquotank Correctional Institution in Elizabeth City in northeastern North Carolina. Inmates started a fire in a sewing plant at the prison that houses more than 700 prisoners.
Last night in Tulsa, Jason Aldean resumed his tour. Back out performing for the first time since being on stage when shots rang out during the Las Vegas massacre. Well, check the calendar. Some of us who are superstitious may decide not to get out of bed today. Here's CBS's Dave Barrett.
Concern about Friday the 13th is something that may go pretty far back.
Most people who are triskaidekaphobic believe that the origin of the fear of the number 13 began at the Last Supper, where Jesus and the 12 disciples dined together in the upper room.
Dr. Thomas Fernsler is a retired math teacher known as Dr. 13. He says this day might have originated in Nordic mythology when the god of evil crashed a dinner party and killed one of the other 12 participants. Dr. 13 is a creature of habit when he flies.
I always wear the same shoes, the same socks, and the same pants, and the same shirt, and the same lucky cap, but I am not superstitious.
Dave Barrett, CBS News.
And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Friday the 13th, the broadcast produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.